Welcome to Week 5 Action, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Kyle, the student of the game. To my right, Chris Weasel, ready to go. We are confirming that at least one team will remain undefeated, as the Packers, who faced an unfeatured team in the Falcons last night, won their game. And the test to see if two undefeated teams will remain will be taking place shortly after this post, so we won't have that yet. We all have the Lions over the Bears. No offense to our Bears fans that are out there. But that will kind of keep us going until next week on the Lions. We'll know then if we have two undefeateds left. But with that, speaking of teams that are far from undefeated but making a comeback, the Tennessee Titans faced off against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Weasel, bring it in.
For the Steelers, it was doubtful how effective Big Ben Roethlisberger would be playing with a sprained left foot injury. He ended up tying a franchise record with 5 touchdowns thrown, as the Steelers at home crushed the Titans 38-17.
So was he okay?
Yeah, he was alright. Big Ben was 24 of 34, 70%, 228 yards, 5 touchdowns, 1 INT. He was sacked once. In the running game, Rashard Mendenhall didn't play because of a hamstring injury. Still leading the way in the rushing game was Jonathan Dwyer.
Who? Had,
yeah, pretty much.
A rookie.
Jonathan Dwyer.
I don't think he's a rookie.
No,
he's a third-year guy.
Yeah.
I looked that up before the show.
He had 11 rushes for 107 yards, 9.7 average, with a long of 76 yards. Isaac Redman had 15 for 49, 3.3 average.
Not a rookie either.
Yeah. In the receiving game, Mike Wallace had 6 catches for 82 yards and a touchdown. Hines Ward had 7 for 54 and 2 touchdowns. And tight end Heath Miller had 3 for 46 with a touchdown. In early in the second quarter, when the Steelers were up 7-3, they faced a 4th and 5 at the 50. Punt formation snap, 2 punter Daniel Sepulveda.
Sepulveda. Okay. There you go.
Who caught the Titans special teams off guard by throwing a fake punt pass midfield to a wide open Ryan Mundy, who took that for a 33-yard gain, which led to a Steelers touchdown.
Yeah, Chris, you said you saw that. That was pretty impressive.
Yeah, that was a beautiful pass. I said they should move him up to number 2 backup for Ben Roethlisberger, because he led Mundy to the outside with an open field.
Yep. Dennis Dixon's available, but I have heard rumors that not the Broncos. They're going to be trying to play Tebow. Well, he's got a contract somewhere. Oh, yeah. Rumors are that he'll be backing up Curtis Painter next week in Indianapolis. There we go.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good pass. So, I mean, I give him credit on that. That was a good call there for the Steelers to go for it on 4th and 5. You know, your defense playing good. It's early in the game. That led to
the Titans suck.
All the Titans, they were running back, like, I think it was Finnegan?
Cortland Finnegan.
His back was turned, running backwards to get the block and stuff, but...
And then Sepulveda goes, psych!
Yeah, so it was nicely executed. For the Titans, Matt Hasselbeck was 29 of 49, 59%, 262 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 INT. He was sacked 3 times. In the running game, Chris Johnson had 14 rushes for 51 yards, 3.6 average with a touchdown, and Javon Ringer had 3 for 12. In the receiving game, Nate Washington had 5 catches for 69 yards.
Alright.
Damian Williams had 6 for 66 with a touchdown, though. Tight end Jared Cook had 4 for 59, and Lavelle Hawkins had 4 for 33. That's it.
Alright, wow. You already did that. The big difference here, for those who really need something here, the Titans were 2 for 3 in the red zone. They got 60%, which really isn't bad. The Steelers, 4 for 5 in the red zone. Dramatic red zone performance improvement by the Steelers. Also helped that they were playing a team as mediocre as the Titans, and I still have no idea how they beat the Ravens.
But that 4 for 5, the fifth attempt was a field goal, so I mean, they counted as scoring. They counted as They count him as touchdowns in the red zone stats.
There was a close game they gave up last week against the Texans where they could have used those 4 extra points on more than one occasion. You know what I mean? Right. So that's kind of where I was going with that. They've left a bunch of points by a factor of 4 because of the difference between the field goal and the touchdown. But that's good to make that clear for the listening public when they hear it. Anyways, speaking of people who are very unclear and needed more 4 points, more of those extra 4 points. 28-24, right? The Colts and the Chiefs. Chris,
Yeah, the Colts led 17-0 at one point in the game, but don't worry, Colt fans, the Suck for Luck campaign is still going on because they forgot to come out at halftime and lost 28-24.
I think the Vikings fans made a call that this week's halftime choker would be the Colts. More on that later.
Saw a Vikings reference coming.
Chiefs scored 21 and unanswered points in the second part of the second quarter to the second half.
That's impressive. So yeah, between the second and third quarter. Weasel, if we didn't make the Vikings comment, you would have. Come on.
I was thinking it, though.
So there you go. All right, anyway. Yeah, you'll follow me, Wally. Go ahead, Chris.
And for the Chiefs, Matt Cassell was 21-29, 72%, 257 yards, 4 touchdowns, no INTs. He was sacked twice. Can you name the two people or name the who sacked him twice?
I'm afraid to ask.
It was the Colts.
Oh, Freeney and Mathis.
Yeah. Freeney had 1.5. Mathis had the half.
I thought you had a joke. I thought that was building up to a joke. Yeah, okay, no. My bad.
I heard that for games of the Colts where both of them are off field, Mathis and Freeney, it's like they pretty much, you'll check out the quarterback, they switch it to a pass, and usually it's a big game. So.
For the Colts, Curtis should have been a painter, was 15 for 27, 56%, 277 yards, 2 touchdowns. He was not sacked at all, so it was good protection for the Colts line this week. Opposed to the Bucks game, it was last Monday night.
Yeah, that was pretty awful.
And on the ground, the Chiefs, Jackie Battle, 19 for 119 yards, 6.3 a carry. And Thomas Jones, 10 for 55, 5.5 a carry. For the Colts, Donald Brown, 8 for 38, 4.75. And Delone Carter, or you want to say Del 1 Carter? Or
Deloney, Delone, Del 1. I like Del 1.
Del 1, I like that one.
Yeah, Del 1, he was 12 for 22, 1.8. Why am I mentioning him? Because he had a touchdown.
Yes. With I think Joseph Addai suffered an injury very early in that game, was not a factor at all. Very first play. Probably a pretty bad sprain. There's talk that he'll miss at least 2 games, I think. I'm not sure. I've not heard the definitive one on that. I'm kind of guessing with that 2-game thing. But anyways.
And through the air, the Chiefs, Dwayne Bowe had 7 for 128 yards, 2 touchdowns. Steve Reston, 4 for 50 with 2 touchdowns.
One of Dwayne Bowe's touchdowns, including a one-handed tip catch to himself after being interfered with in the end zone. Just saying, it helps to be big.
Interfered with.
And the Colts, Pierre Garçon, 5 for 125 with 2 touchdowns. Reggie Wayne, 4 for 77. And Austin Colley, 2 for 50. Big difference here in this game. I mean, Kansas City, 26 first downs and the Colts, 15. Time of possession, it was 6-minute difference. That's not that bad. Third down, each team was pretty decent on third down. 57% for the Chiefs. Third down, 8 for 14. The Colts were 5 for 12, 42%. Not bad. Red zone scoring, 100%.
Everything. Yeah, both. I saw that.
3 for 3 for the Chiefs, 2 for 2 for the Colts.
I saw that, and I struggled to find the difference yourself. The yardage and the first downs were a good call, too. I also have to mention the yards on the ground. The top two carriers, 119 and 55 for the Chiefs. The top two carriers for the Colts, 38 and 22. A dramatic difference. I think you noticed that right away. Speaking of things where we expected a dramatic difference, we did not get that. Well, we did, but it would be the Bengals fooling people, or at least Chris and I, as they overcome the Jags 30-20. Everyone's new favorite ginger, Andy Dalton, goes 21 for 33, 78%, 179 yards with 2 touchdowns and an interception. While the new Florida pretty boy, Blaine Gabbert, goes 15 for 28, 54%, 2 touchdowns. However, he did lose 2 fumbles. Cedric Benson on the ground had 24 carries for the Bengals with 53 yards and 2.2 a carry, while Bernard Scott makes an honorable mention with 6 carries for 20 yards, 3.3 a carry, and brought in a touchdown. Maurice Jones-Drew, the kid they call Mojo, 19 carries for 85 yards at 4.5 a carry and a touchdown. The hot new sensation that gets the catches from the ginger himself, A.J. Green, the rookie for the Bengals, 5 catches, 90 yards, and a touchdown. Jerome Simpson, 4 catches for 40 for the Bengals as well. And Jermaine Gresham had 5 catches for 21 yards. Not many yards, but he did bring in a touchdown. The top performance, and really the only one worth mention in the air for receiving yards for the Jags, was Jason Hill at 5 catches for 118 yards. This one really didn't come down to a whole lot, but more turnovers than the other team. There was a lot of other stats that were matching up. The third down percentage was very similar. The time of possession was very similar. The red zone success was kind of similar. It really just came down to don't turn the effing ball over. Speaking of teams that fail to prevent turning the effing ball over, Seahawks, Giants. Chris, go ahead.
The Seahawks scored to go ahead 29-25 with 2:37 left to play. Eli tried for the third week in a row to have a game-winning rally, but the ball hit off Victor Cruz's hands, and the Seahawks returned the ball 94 yards for a touchdown. Seahawks upset the Giants 36-25. Through the air, Tavares Jackson, T-Jack, and it was 15-22, 68%, 166 yards, one touchdown, one interception. He was sacked three times. He left the game injured on a scramble he had with a upper body and shoulder, like a rib or something.
It was a pectoral tear.
Right.
Just like Mario Williams for the Texans, except his is a lot less severe. There was talk that they were going to pursue David Garrard. That's not going to happen because they think it's a minor tear, and they are prepared to start with Charlie Whitehurst.
Yeah, so in comes ex-Clemson starter Charlie Whitehurst, 11 for 19, 58%, 149 yards, one touchdown. He was sacked twice. The touchdown pass he did throw was to Doug Baldwin. Giant jumped offside, so it was a free play.
Ah!
But everyone else on the defense stopped. The guy was wide open in the end zone.
Who was this guy?
So Jack can make that throw.
Yeah, he didn't have to, fortunately.
And for the Giants, Eli Manning, 24-39, 62%, 420 yards.
Oh, wow.
Three touchdowns.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, 420 yards, three touchdowns. Great.
Yeah, that's
those
awesome.
Are good with his three interceptions as well.
And
his lost fumble.
And
he was sacked three times. on the ground, Marshawn Lynch, 12 for 98, 8.2 a carry with a touchdown. He also had a fumble. He did have a long of 47 yards, and that brings it down to 4.6, which is still pretty good. Michael Robinson, 3 for 5, 1.7 average, but he had a fumble. Both of those fumbles came in Giants territory. Michael Robinson's came on the Giants' 3-yard line.
Oh, boy, that's pretty awful. So, yeah, that's. I think that was kind of a key. And, by the way, a note to Tom Coughlin, do not use a tight end trap when you're deep in your own end zone. That's how they scored, the safety. That guard came through, the tight end didn't even have half a chance.
But the safety was reversed, saying he did break the play.
Say it again?
Yeah, the safety was reversed. They challenged the safety, and they said he did break the play.
That doesn't change the fact that Tom Coughlin needs a damn memo not to run a tight end trap in his own end zone. And I don't know if you mentioned this too, but another factor in the Giants' performance on third down, 1 for 12, a measly 8%.
I was going to get to that. I'm only through the running backs.
Beg your pardon.
And for the Giants, Ahmad Bradshaw, 17 for 58, 3.4 a carry. For the Seahawks, the rookie Doug Baldwin out of, where is he from? Stanford.
There you go. Yeah. I have it written here if you missed it.
8 for 136 yards with a touchdown. Ben Obumanu, 6 for 51 with a touchdown. Sidney Rice, 4 for 38. Marshawn Lynch, 4 for 33. For the Giants, Victor Cruz, 8 for 161. With a touchdown, and he also had a costly fumble that led to that, I think the game-winning, or not, like, go-ahead score for the Seahawks.
So there is such a thing as an uncostly fumble? We had this discussion?
Yeah.
Yes? Okay, just checking.
Tight end Jared Ballard, 3 for 72 with a touchdown. Hakeem Nicks, 4 for 65. And Mario Manningham, 5 for 56. So the big difference in this game, you were saying, was the third down conversions.
I'm hearing this for the first time.
Yeah. The Seahawks, 4 for 15, 27%. Giants, 1 for 12, 8%.
Ooh, that's awful.
Red zone, they were both 2 for 4.
If I hadn't seen that, I would have written that down.
Yeah.
They were both 2 for 4, and the Seahawks, their two that they didn't get were those fumbles.
Yeah.
They were in the red zone. The Giants, the one was that came in at the end of the game with Victor Cruz.
Yeah, that was...
It's like, oh, we love him. He's got a great catch for his touchdown. And then he fumbles the ball.
Yeah, that was...
Then he has another catch coming down the field, and then they throw it to him. It's a little high. It goes right off his hands, and the guy picks it off 94 yards.
So it's kind of like the good-bad thing with Tony Romo, except within the course of the same game. I don't know what it is about the AFC East, but apparently they loves they drama. I don't know. Speaking of things that lacked drama, the Bucks faced off against the San Francisco 49ers, and in a bout of cynicism that came with past years of mediocrity, the Niners smashed the Bucks 48-3.
Did you want to say that again?
The Niners smashed the Bucks 48-3. Alex Smith showing a rare performance that was above mediocrity, went 11 for 19, 58%, 170 yards, with three touchdowns. Colin Kaepernick made a brief appearance, throwing three passes and completing them all for 35 yards. The rookie out of Nevada, for those who were wondering who that was. Josh Freeman having a day that was up and down as usual, just over 50%, going 17 for 33, 187 yards, with two INTs. And also a lost fumble by Aurelius Ben. I have it down here. Was it him? I was going to be all smooth and put it in there, but I got it wrong. I think it was Aurelius Ben who got knocked by the Niners D in what is, albeit biasedly so, one of the best hits in the season so far.
One of those interceptions was turned for a touchdown, Carlos Rogers.
Very good. Yes, I was getting to that.
Out pattern, and they were looked like Niners did their homework. Game plan on this.
Yeah, that's a very legitimate point. Now, on top of which, Gerald McCoy, their star defensive tackle, was knocked out in the first half, and so their effectiveness against the run depleted. Speaking of a lack of effectiveness against the run, let's talk about Frank Gore. 20 carries, 125 yards, 5.25 a carry, and a touchdown.
It was a good segue.
I dug it. Anthony Dixon had two carries for 4 yards. And they had another running back, Kendall Davis, I think his name is. I didn't write it down. That's why I'm an idiot. But 9 for 65, 8 carries for 21 yards. Yeah, he's number 32. He's another part of the running back committee that they've added in. They had Clint Coffey, who literally left.
Retired,
thank
after
you.
After his first year, retired.
For religious reasons, which, I mean, good for him, but that's not something you see a whole lot. But anyways... So now they have an excellent running committee, and then on top of that, a little bit of a receiving performance by Josh Morgan, who had 5 catches for 75 yards, did leave the game injured. Vernon Davis had 3 catches for 39 yards, but you fantasy teamers out there, 2 touchdowns. Delonte Walker had 2 catches for 37 yards and a touchdown. That touchdown that he got was probably the single best ball that Alex Smith threw all day to open the game up and set the tone. I think 7-3 was the closest the game was beyond 0-0. Nice. In the air for the Bucks, it was Kellen Winslow, who had 5 catches for 54 yards. Everyone else was pretty mediocre. LeGarrette Blount had 10 carries for 34 yards, and Ertis Graham had 5 carries for 30. LeGarrette Blount also having to leave the game early due to a minor injury as well. So stopping LeGarrette Blount, big deal. Doing enough to slow the balanced attack that the Bucks had been managing, forcing Freeman to actually have to try to do a few things, and that made the Bucks team fall apart. Find it very interesting how balance on one side led to domination over the other. This is I got nothing. This is
Alex Smith.
This was Frank Gore, son. Same, but Alex Smith, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, 11 for 19.
Man,
Donovan who?
Really?
Yeah,
I could see why the Vikings fan is saying that. Why don't you tell us why you're saying that, Liesl? You got the next game.
Well, the Vikings at home did blow their 28-3 halftime lead as they defeated the Cardinals 34-10.
First time this year.
Yeah. For the Vikings.
Wait, hold up. Did they leave at the half?
They led, yeah.
Okay. I just want to know. Keep going.
28-3.
I was there, but I'm doing that for the crowd. You know this.
Gotcha. 28-3 at half.
Yeah.
Well, I think he was going to mention that. I was.
You know,
here
he said.
Let's get it. Oh, well, I'm a dumbass.
Yeah.
Carry on. Yes, Kyle, we know.
For the Vikings, Donovan McNabb was 10 of 21, an awesome 47%, 169 yards.
All right.
Come on, you can round up. That's 40.
No touchdowns, no INTs, except once. Yeah, 49ers could really use that.
I rounded up. I'm just saying. Well, he would be effective against NFC West. Oh, wait a minute. Right. Go ahead, Weasel.
For the running game, Adrian Peterson had 29 rushes for 122 yards, 4.2 average with 3 touchdowns. All 3 touchdown runs were in the first quarter. Lorenzo Booker had a 25-yard run off a double reverse, and Percy Harvin had a 12-yard run. McNabb had 4 scrambles for 4 yards and a touchdown. In the receiving game, Devin Aromashadu.
Aromashadu, nice.
Had 2 catches for 81 yards. Michael Jenkins lost a fumble but had 4 for 32, and Booker had 2 for 25. For the Cardinals, Kevin Kolb was 21 of 42, 50%, 232 yards, no touchdowns, two INTs. He was sacked four times and lost a fumble. After throwing his second INT, Richard Bartell, a third-year quarterback from Tarleton State, came in for the last drive of the game for the Cardinals, where he went 2 of 6 for 22 yards and an INT.
Oh, so way to stay relevant. I had four incompletions, but don't worry, guys. One of them was a pick.
There you go. For the running game, Beanie Wells had 20 rushes for 60 yards, 3-yard average with a touchdown, and Kolb had two scrambles for 10 yards. In the receiving game, Early Doucette had 8 catches for 92 yards, Larry Fitzgerald had 4 for 66, Andre Roberts had 3 for 36, and tight end Jeff King had 5 for 35.
The big difference maker here, I think, beyond the fact that Adrian Peterson just went ape, was the red zone performance. 1 for 3 for the Cardinals. The Vikings had 3 red zone touchdowns in their 5 trips.
The difference here was they took the ball out of McNabb's hand and told him to give it to Peterson.
Yeah, I agree.
So 29 carries, I think that totaled his first, what, 3 games?
And I mean, I'll speak more boldly on this one. Maybe you can help me with it, Weasel. Outside of the Chiefs, maybe the Chiefs' D-line is a little stronger than the Cards even, but this is one of the weaker D-lines they faced all year, which leads me to think that they're going to, no offense, Weasel, are going to struggle against the rest of that division because that's a cavalcade of tough D-line. Anyways, I'm not trying to bring your party down, I'm just saying, but, you know, not all of us can be 4-1. Let me enjoy it. I'm sorry. Anyways, speaking of a divisional rivalry here, talking about divisions and everything, the Jets and the Patriots faced off against one another. The Pats prevail, 27-21. Excuse me. Go ahead, Chris.
27-21.
What was it?
30-21.
Okay.
And Jarvis Green Ellis, the firm, had a career high 136 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns and route to an AFC East victory over the Jets. 30-21, not 27.
I got it. I got it. It wasn't my game. That's why I got the score wrong.
For the Jets, Mark Sanchez, 16 for 26, 62%, 166 yards, 2 touchdowns, no INTs. He was sacked twice. One of them was at the end of the game when they were trying to do a comeback, which their hurry up looked like a slowdown, kind of just no huddle.
Their hurry up looked like a slowdown. I love it. That's almost as good as the suck for love.
For the Pats, Tom Brady, 24 for 33, 73%, 321 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 INT. The INT came right before the half in the red zone. For the Jets, Sean Green, 21 for 83 yards, 3.9, 4.0 carry, however you want to measure that, 1 touchdown, 3.95.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
3.95, there we go.
3.98, whatever.
Yeah. For the Pats, been Jarvis Green Ellis, 27 for 136, like I said before, with 2 touchdowns. For the Jets, through the air, Santonio Holmes, 4 for 60 with a touchdown. Plaxico Burress, 3 for 42 with 4 drop passes.
All fail. Who had more drop passes? Ocho Cinco or Burress?
Burress.
too soon? Anyway, no, not after 2 years in jail, for goodness sake. Yeah. My goodness. Anyway.
Well, Andy Dalton's favorite receiver in college at TCU, Jeremy Curley, had 3 for 35 with a touchdown. For the Pats, Wes Welker had 5 for 124 yards.
Points for Chris.
Yeah. Except he was white and he got caught by a black guy.
he got
on a 73-yard. 73 yards came in the first play after the half.
Yeah, I was watching another buddy of mine watch that replay, and he's like, no, Wes Welker, why didn't you score? It was quite sad and funny at the same time.
Deion Branch, 7 for 74 with a touchdown. Aaron Hernandez, 5 for 56. And Rob Gronkowski, 4 for 31. I mean, big difference in this game. Pats had 26 first downs, Jets 14. Third down, 50% for the Pats, 27 for the Jets.
That's exactly what I put down.
Time of possession, 8-minute difference, 34 minutes to 26. Red zone, the Jets were 2 for 2 at least.
Yeah.
The Pats were 3 for 6.
So really what it comes down to is a familiar theme whenever the Jets do lose. The defense did their job. Where the hell was everyone else?
Okay. Two of those red zones were field goals, so mm-hmm. 5 for 6, really scoring. And then the INT right before the half.
Yeah,
so
I mean, that's amazing.
Pedleys, 8.8 for 89 yards for the Jets. You bring that out, that's 11.1 yards per penalty.
Every penalty, essentially, was a first down, when you put it that way,
They called a deep in this game, you know, you were talking about how the offensive player initiates the contact should not be pass interference.
I agree.
Aaron Hernandez went right through Cromartie,
mm-hmm.
and then went down the field and pushed off on Cromartie, and they called a defensive pass interference.
See, that's just unacceptable.
And then also, right before, I think it was right before the half, Deion Branch caught a ball that led to the right inside the 5-yard line. He was down on the ground. He was starting to come up, shifted the ball out of his hands, got hit, the ball came out, Jets recovered. They called it a fumble first. Reversed it, said he had possession down. But everyone on the replay showed that the ball was out of his hand as he was changing possession as he was getting up. Yeah, his knee was still down, but he was moving the ball out of his hand when he got hit.
So the ball was in his hands when he got touched while his knee was down?
No.
Okay.
He was making a football move up to get up.
Right. Well, you know what the precedent for this is? Back in the playoffs, the first time, what was it, Super Bowl XL, leading up to that, the Troy Polamalu fumble.
Yeah.
For those who remember the roll and drop.
The difference was, though, is that he wasn't even touched.
That's absolutely correct.
They call that an incomplete.
Yeah.
I appreciate your bitterness there, sir.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that being so many years ago now, I'm not sure how many people actually remember
this
play.
This one,
but still
had it, and he was coming up, and as he stood up, he still had the ball, and he got tackled for the fumble, and
they
called him down, Belichick call up there in New England.
Well,
they had it all
maybe.
Day long, the pass interference and a couple other calls.
And then and of course, keeping everything in full disclosure, this is from the perspective of somebody who would rather see the Jets win, even if it's not the Patriots, but...
I did call them losing, though.
Yeah, we did. We all did.
It shouldn't have been that close of a game.
I agree. And, I mean, the defense did their job. And, I mean, if you needed the refs to win on that, I mean, that's two pretty important plays you're talking about. And it was only 9 points?
9 points.
So they pushed. They covered the spread. But, anyways, I was about to say 6 points, but I'd be wrong because I had the wrong score. Anyways, I have the right score for this one. 30-27 as the Saints propel themselves barely past the Panthers. Cam Newton having a weaker day on conversion percentage, when 16 for 31 at 52%, still managed 224 yards, 2 touchdowns, but had an interception on his opening drive. Drew Brees had his stereotypical good day, 32 completions for 35 attempts, 71%, 359 yards, 2 touchdowns, did throw 1 pick. Darren Sproles continues to make an impact at 11 carries for 51 yards, He had a 28-yard carry for his long. Mark Ingram had 9 carries for 32 yards and had a touchdown as well. Just short of 4 yards carry on the day. Cam Newton had 7 carries for 27 yards, 3.9 a carry with a touchdown. And D'Angelo Williams had a 9-carry day for 115 yards with the touchdown, including a 69-yard touchdown.
All right.
you enjoyed that.
So he took a 69-yarder to score.
Correct. He scored on a 69. Well done, Chris. Also had, he still, despite that long carry, went 8 for 46 on the rest of the day, maintaining a 5.75 carry average, even taking out that long carry. So it's kind of a big deal. I'm just saying. The dude went 9 for 115, that's more than 10 yards of carry. Whatever. In the air, once again, leading the receiving yards for the Saints, Jimmy Graham, tight end / wide receiver, 8 catches for 129 yards. Pierre Thomas had 3 catches for 24 yards and a touchdown. And fullback Jed Collins had a 1-yard catch for a touchdown. Once again, the biggest factor in the air for the Panthers, Steve Smith, 3 catches for 79 yards and a touchdown. Former Charger receiver Legadoon Anee, 4 catches, 63 yards. Do I have an approved pronunciation for this? Okay. And tight end Greg Olsen, 3 catches for 21 yards and a touchdown. For my money, the game-changing stats here would be the Saints at 12 for 17 on third down at 70%. Brilliant. Not that the Panthers 7 for 12 was for 58% was bad, but 70% third down conversion.
17 times they had a third down.
That's retarded. That's amazing.
Grease is good.
Time of possession for the Saints was superior by about 9.5 minutes, 34-40 versus 25-20. And the red zone conversions, 3 for 5 for the Saints, but the Panthers, while they scored on every effort in the red zone, only got there twice. We could take Coach Ron Rivera to task for another poor coaching decision in this case, too. Last week, he kicked the ball to Devin Hester against the Bears after he gave up a 73-yard carry already anyway, and then Devin Hester scored the what would be the deciding touchdown or the difference-making touchdown after that. This time, the situation is thus that the Saints are in a hurry coming towards the end of halftime. The score at the time is 17-13. And the Saints are rushing to kick the field goal. They're out of timeouts. They're moving. They're trying to get that last kick in. The clock's ticking down. 5, 4, 3. Ron Rivera calls timeout with 2 seconds left in the half.
Ice the kicker.
No. The reason? He was scared that he had 12 men on the field. Pop quiz, gentlemen. Why was this stupid?
Wait, how far was the field goal?
The length is not relevant here necessarily.
Okay. Well, I was thinking it's only 5 yards. And if they don't get the kick, then...
Well, here's what it is.
Here's the thing. If they have 12 men on the field and they don't get the snap off, it doesn't matter.
Because they get the time again. Exactly. He said it right there. Either way, play's going to be stopped for them to get time to set up the field goal. So rather than hand it to them, if you're wrong...
They might have gotten the snap off.
Right. They wouldn't have gotten the snap off.
Right. So you didn't need to call a timeout because the 12 men's irrelevant if they can't get the snap off.
Assuming... that they actually had 12 men on the field.
Huh.
There you go. So, Ron Rivera. Oops. Coaching God. Not really. So with that...
Did he ride the short bus to school?
I think Al Michaels would say he did, because according to Al Michaels on Monday Night Football, if you can't count the if you got 12 guys or not on the field, what, do you ride the short bus or something? Quote.
That was
a couple years ago.
But. No, it was the... It said... You can ride the short bus to school and still count 12 men on the field.
There you go. I knew you were the one who actually picked
better.
Up the quote before,
that
so
one's better.
I was waiting for your help. No,
I
it was.
Al
I know
Michaels.
I got.
I thought it was someone else.
Oh no, it was Al Michaels, dude. That's a fact. That part I know I got right because that was as confusing as some of the lines he drops in basketball. But I digress. So a few pop quizzes here while I got a moment, gentlemen. This week the Texans are now officially without Mario Williams. On top of which. Their star receiver, Andre Johnson, is out. So we have the top player on defense and the top player on offense, both out for the Texans. Or Chad Clifton, top left tackle for the Packers, out against the Falcons. Now, the Packers did adjust on the fly, but Clifton's going to be out for about a month. In more trouble right now, the Texans or the Packers? Weasel.
It matters. It just matters how the... Packers offensive line, now they react to it. So I would say because Aaron Rodgers is so good and all,
mm-hmm.
I would say that
Texans.
Texans are.
Chris?
I'd say the Texans because Clifton got hurt before the Packers came back on their comeback last night against the Falcons D.
And building on that point, the Texans have choked more often, and the more pressure they get, the more they were more likely they will be to choke. I got the Texans as well. Right, let's go to the study hall. How'd we do?
All right. Weasel was 6-2 last week. And we're both 5-3.
Hey, Weasel, do we need to start calling you the Dynamite? Because you went boom. All snap.
You still boom 3 games behind me.
Early on.
So how did the two of us finish as we picked the same games again?
Yeah. Weasel's 28-14. You're 29-13 overall. I'm 31-19. So you got a 1-game lead over Weasel. Two back on me.
Hey, you know what? I still got screwed by that Panthers game last week. Of course, then Weasel got screwed by the Panthers game this week. So
it comes around, goes around.
I suppose.
Sorry, you guys will get a game on me this week. You ready?
Uh-oh. I sense homerism.
No. Nope.
And I don't think it involves the Niners this week. Chris, go ahead.
First game, Bills at Giants.
I got the Bills.
Got the Bills.
Damn, I thought everyone's good. I got the Bills as well.
Well, damn, son. What do you think we are, stupid?
Yeah.
Colts at Bengals.
This is an absolutely ridiculously difficult game to pick, so I'm going to let the leader of the pack do it first, Chris.
It's not that difficult. Bengals got one of the top defenses in the league. I got the Bengals.
Weasel.
Surprisingly, stat-wise, they are the best defense in the league.
Weasel. Bengals. Wow. This is absolutely stupid difficult to pick. We all know that the Colts had a legitimate shot to win the Chiefs game. Did we all get that game right, or did we all get that wrong?
We got it right.
We all got it right. We all picked the Chiefs.
And, yeah, I can't pick Curtis Painter. I got the Bengals as well. Oh, that hurts to even say. Next game.
Joke of a game. Jags at Steelers.
Did anyone else really think about the Jags here?
No.
Moving on.
Cowboys at Pats.
Anybody thinking about the Cowboys here?
Pats.
Nope.
Okay. Pats. Carry on.
Saints at Bucks.
Anyone really got the Bucks here? Need I remind you of the 45-point loss last week? Thank you, Chris.
No.
So we'll get the Saints, okay?
Saints. Okay. NFC North, Vikings at Bears, Sunday night.
That's very difficult to choose, actually. Chris, go ahead.
I had them splitting in preseason. Both winning at home, I got the Bears.
Huh. Weasel. Nah, man, take your time on this one, because I can understand why you'd be conflicted.
This is a tough one.
Not to mention.
Also to add into it, Bears are going to stop Adrian Peterson. Going to give the ball to McNabb.
Yeah, game over.
It is a tough game, but why not the Vikings? Why not?
He knows he wants the Vikings. He needs to win that bet against his girlfriend. That's like pick, I'm hoping I lose
fiance.
For you.
Well,
girlfriend until they're married, whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, in the interest of keeping Weasel happy before married life, I understand that if Adrian Peterson is stopped, that Julius Peppers will wreck Donovan McNabb's world. We got to get to that point first. I think Brian Urlacher will help to successfully contain Adrian Peterson. Not stop. I said contain. I think the Bears will manage to maintain. I'm going to be a little worried about Jared Allen versus that Bears O-line. But Matt Forte is a bad mamma jamma himself. I think the Bears win in Vikings style over the Cardinals. You like what I did there? I got the Bears. Next game.
Monday night, Finns at Jets.
Anybody really thinking about the Finns on this one?
Isn't Henny out for the year?
Yeah, they got Moore, and then they just signed Rosenfels.
Sage Rosenfels,
again.
Yes.
He takes a second tour at the Dolphins.
Yeah, the place where you're supposed to be saying, again, again, is not in signing Sage Rosenfels.
All right, so the only game we have difference is the Vikings-Bears next week.
How to mix it up for y'all?
Well, I thought I was going to mix it up with the Bills.
Well, you know, I think Weasel was uncomfortable with the concept that he was this close to the pack and needed to fall back a little further again. Either that, or he's going to be even with me after next week. But I know what I think is going to happen.
You know what's funny, though? Bills, three straight games, they have interception return for a touchdown.
Yeah. Yeah, that's powerful stuff. I'll tell you, the people call it an opportunistic defense, but you got to set up mistakes for that to happen first. So this defense, this defensive line, I picked them as being good, slightly above average, but they're making amazing things happen.
Set up perfect. They're going against Eli.
Yeah. Seriously, that's the reason why I picked
Stone
it.
Hands
for a little while. Oh, hate a ride.
He's been getting big fantasy points, but
yeah,
he had a great touchdown catch. It went off some other guy's hands. He had a one-handed catch from going for a touchdown.
And with all the Giants' injuries in the secondary, yeah. Stevie Johnson, Dave Nelson,
that's
a big deal.
That's the other reason.
Yeah, and then who's going to stop Fred Jackson? I don't know, because they couldn't stop Marshawn frickin' Lynch against the Seahawks last week. Right. But whatever. Oh. So the dog's back. Apparently we're done. Unless you guys have anything else.
That means we have too much time on her.
Yeah, right. So Cooper makes another guest appearance. And unless you guys have anything else.
Nope.
Okay. So then go ahead and check us out. www.thestudentofthegame.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Fire us an email at thesotg@gmail.com. Make a comment on the website that we dropped earlier there, too, or follow us on Twitter @TheSOTG. With that, class dismissed.